Well, there's a turn up for the books. I throw a tweet out and I managed to get in touch with my local Lib Dem candidate, Scott Collins, whose Twitter name is Scott John, spelled J-O-N, Collins. I ask him, do you fancy a beer? And he says yes. And we've just had that beer, haven't we?
We have indeed. Very enjoyable it was too.
We're at the Bradlaugh because it's next to where I used to work, the Chronicle and Echo in Northampton, and it's probably one of the only pubs I actually remember going to regularly. And I thought, first thing that popped into my head, but it was quite noisy in there at this time of the day. I'm quite surprised. But it's nice to see you are a beer drinker and not a champagne on weekdays drinker.
Absolutely not. A good pint of real ale does me fine.
So I couldn't help but notice you're on Twitter. Just kind of finding your feet and getting to grips with it. A few other Lib Dems are as well in the area. And, well, I definitely know there's some in London. But what's the plan with communicating with people online? Is it something you've done for a while?
Well, I've been on Facebook for a while, but I haven't used it obsessively by any stretch of the imagination. Up till recently, I've been a bit of a technophobe, I have to say. Some of it confuses me terribly, which isn't great. But I'm getting to grips with it, and I think it's important to actually have communication with not just voters, but friends as well. And it's I think it's a better way of communicating, certainly with people you don't see very often, because you can do it on the move, and it's you get some interesting stuff back.
No, definitely. I noticed that you are a BlackBerry user, as many people are nowadays, but you said you were looking forward to the new iPhone coming out in July. I thought, oh, how does he know about that? You've obviously got your finger on the pulse in some circles. What's happening at the moment then? This is obviously a very exciting time for the UK. I guess it's an exciting time for you as well. What with you having your name on certain ballot papers right now.
Absolutely. It's a very interesting and extremely tiring time at the moment as well. But certainly the feeling we've got on the streets when we've been out, you know, delivering leaflets or speaking to people has been extremely positive, you know. And we're on the verge of perhaps having a history book government, quite frankly. Things, you know, that all bets are off, you know. Who knows where we're going to be next Friday.
So how hard have you been pushing things for this area? How does it work in the area? Well, how many regions? Tell me about your region and who's standing.
Well, I mean, there's seven constituencies across Northamptonshire, but the three that seem to work together closest are the three that actually cover Northampton Borough Council, which is Lib Dem run anyway, which is Northampton North with Andrew Simpson, Northampton South with Paul Valensbury, and myself in South Northamptonshire, which is East Hunsbury, West Hunsbury and Nen Valley inside Northampton Borough Council, plus the bulk of South Northants Council, which extends all the way down to Ainhoe, just outside Oxford. So it's a huge, huge area. It's a very long, thin constituency. A lot of coverage, a lot of miles being covered at the moment.
Definitely, and a little bit confusing with South Northampton and Northampton South.
Yeah, it's not the greatest labelling exercise by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, like I say,
is that Nick Clegg's fault?
Absolutely not. I've no doubt it's the Boundary Commission and several lawyers somewhere that think it's intelligent to do it that way. But, you know, it should be listed as South Northamptonshire, but I've still seen it listed often as Northamptonshire South, which is even closer to Northampton South. So it'd be much better if it had been completely renamed. But it's a new constituency coming out of the old Daventry constituency, which was Daventry District Council and South Northants put together, which was amongst the top 20 largest constituencies in Britain. So, you know, it's a easier constituency to handle now than it was previously. But the name is still daft.
It
explains for the most part where most of the constituency is actually featured. But there's got to have been a better way of labelling. It's so close to Northampton South.
No, definitely. What are you... I don't know, is promising the wrong word? What are you saying you're going to do for the people in your constituency?
Well, I think the important thing, I mean, I'm a local boy. I grew up and lived in Towcester for the last 35 years, only recently moving to Northampton. I have a passion for the area. I'm sick of seeing Northamptonshire as a whole, and South Northants especially, ignored and mistreated in many, many ways by government because of the fact that we have some very wealthy individuals living in the area sort of thing. It raises the average income, so we miss out on an awful lot. And the social exclusion that goes on for so many villages across such a rural constituency with very poor bus services. You know, I was speaking to somebody the other day that can't actually get to college in Northampton because he can get a bus out at 6 o'clock in the morning but can't get home again in the evening. So he's relying on friends and relatives to actually bring him back if he actually gets in September. And it's affecting his choices long term. And we can't have a situation like that where transport actually excludes people from society generally, where they work, where they get educated. And, you know, we need to do something about that.
It's very interesting, really, when you look at how well the kind of roads web out all over Northampton, why we don't know. I mean, I find myself, and I have done publicly a couple of times, hitchhiking because...
There isn't a bus.
No, that's right. That's right.
Public transport is a very, very big issue anyway, nationwide, mainly because we really should be taking our cars less, shouldn't we?
We certainly should, but we need a bus service that actually gets you where you want to go when you want to go. Mm. If the bus isn't there to provide that, then you're going to have to climb in your car, if you've got one. Mm. And with the price of petrol going up, I mean, we've got oil at... the price has risen slightly.
Yeah.
But we've ended up with a higher price than we've ever had in the last 25, 30 years, on, you know, taking inflation into account. And yet oil is nowhere near the price that it was 12 months ago, ridiculous. When the prices peaked at 119. Now we're at 122 in some places, 123.
When I mentioned that I was going to be talking to you, well, actually having a beer with you, I didn't say to anybody, ask any questions, but a few questions did fly through, and somebody said, can you ask about flood defences? And it was a little bit abstract, but you seem to know a lot about flooding and what happens in Northamptonshire.
Well, certainly in Northampton, it's been a problem in Far Cotton, which isn't actually in South Northamptonshire, but it's certainly an issue. But there are several villages across South Northampton, Silverstone very recently, and some villages in the south of the constituency certainly suffer from localised flooding when we get severe, you know, water issues like we had at the tail end of last year and earlier last year, where you get, you know, massive deluges of rain. Some of that is obviously caused, you know, through planning as much as anything else, because we're building on the floodplains more than we ever were. Mm. But yes, we do need to, you know, do something about that. You know, there does need to be local schemes. I mean, there's a local scheme in Toaster that's been going some time now, where they have actually put up localised flood barriers to try and contain the water. But I think we need to take it to the next step beyond that and actually have, you know, even more localised, in as much as the defence is actually on the houses themselves. Mm. Certainly some of the developers I've spoken to, as a chair of planning, as much as anything else, are very aware about actually raising aeration blocks higher in the walls in certain areas of Northamptonshire because of the risk of flooding.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't move there if it was me. I think there's a lot. I mean, you see it on the news, and I know some people think, well, it only happens once every 20 years, but who knows? It seems to be happening more often than not. Maybe if we take the bus more, it won't.
Climate change, quite possibly. Yeah, who knows? But, I mean... certainly as far as moving to some of these places, you tend to find some developers are quite keen to build on these areas because the land is slightly cheaper.
Right.
They tend to also end up with an awful lot of affordable housing being put at that end of things as well because of the way houses are built these days. And
that's an interesting point when you're talking about development as well, because the southern half of Northampton seems to have a lot of banners up in certain villages saying... you know, save our village because of certain developments that are that look like they're going to be happening, whether they like it or not. How do you feel about our villages becoming small towns?
Well, I think it's shameful, really, the way things have gone on in the last couple of years, because so much planning power, certainly in Northamptonshire, with West Northampton Development Corporation, we have ended up with a situation where a localised quango, effectively, has been given the task of delivering, you know, 50, 60,000 houses at a time pretty much every year for, well, every couple of years for the next 10, 15 years. My concern is that so much of their plan actually seems to be about building massive estates, which, although it may be developer-friendly, it's certainly not village-friendly. What I've heard and what people have been telling me when we've been going round and meeting people at hustings and elsewhere is that they'd be quite happy to have development. That, you know, people are realistic. You know, nobody has told me they don't want any houses whatsoever. They've all been very realistic that we do need some housing. We certainly need affordable housing. South Northampton were recently criticised for the you know, terrible level of affordable housing in South Northampton and the lack that it actually provided. But people are aware that, you know, we need places for our sons, daughters, grandchildren, all the rest of it, to live. Mm. So nobody's saying no building, absolutely. Mm. But what they do want, they want affordable housing in reasonable size, 10, 15 units,
yeah.
in villages. You know, because it brings in a localised economy as well, because you've ended up with local families in the village during the day, yep. which keeps the local yep. shop, post office, pub going. Mm. What we're ending up with now is so few people can actually afford to live in the villages they were growing up in. So you end up with a dead village being used as almost a dormitory, effectively, mm. from 8 in the morning to 6, 7 o'clock at night, and local services being lost because of it.
Yeah.
So you know, I think we need to bring planning down to a very local level and give parish councils and local district councils more freedom in deciding where housing goes on a localised basis. Who better knows where housing should be than residents?
Mm.
You know, these aren't complete NIMBYs saying no, never, by any stretch of the imagination.
It's getting some local residents to get a little bit more active in politics, and especially local politics. I don't know, is this a good time to be in the relatively good position that the Lib Dems are now? I mean, are you kind of wishing that we'd had a massive spurt of interest and more people voting in general?
I think people voting in general is a major concern. I think politics has done nothing to cover itself in glory in the last 2 years with the expenses scandal and other issues that have cropped up. Certainly I would encourage absolutely everybody with the right to vote to go out and vote. I think it's extremely important. And again,
why is it important?
Because if you don't vote and you don't take part in the democratic process, then you almost lose the ability to complain. If you want to complain about your MP, local council, or whatever's going on in your community,
make sure you vote first before you open your mouth.
Well, effectively, I've got nothing about anybody campaigning on any issue. But I think once every 4 or 5 years, you get the chance to actually put a mark in a box that says you feel in a certain way about a certain issue. And I've said this at hustings before. Although I'd love everybody to vote for me, I'm much more interested in everybody voting, whoever they vote for. I think that is actually getting involved in the process is the absolute essential part.
Yeah. So if someone's listening to this right now and they just so happen to be looking down at that ballot paper in the not-too-distant future, first of all, what name do you think they should be putting a cross next to?
Scott Collins, of course. The one with the bird next to it.
And I don't know. What's the first thing you're going to do should you get a lot of X's next to your name?
If I get those X's, once I've recovered from the shock, one of the first things I would do is actually get on board with the whole dealing with the transport issue. Mm. Not just increasing rural services and supporting local businesses is a massive issue as well. Mm. I think we were very quick as a nation, as certainly in the Labour government, to rush to save the banks. Mm. Who already have lots of money that's just very well salted away. What we need to do is actually support local businesses. So many local businesses in South Northamptonshire are having real cash flow problems at the moment. And I think we need, with those publicly owned banks, you know, let's say we should have a very strong say with them. They should be doing as they're told. They owe us a lot. And they need to be supporting those local businesses because they're the drivers for the local economy and driving local employment. Beyond that, taking on board local concerns and dealing with the very thorny issue, certainly in the south of the constituency, of the high-speed rail link too, which is endangering more than several villages and running the way through several battlefields. It mustn't be allowed to go ahead in its current form by any means.
Brilliant. Well, it has been a pleasure talking with you and a pleasure drinking with you, which is very strange. Thank you for the rapid response and the fact that you're free tonight, I think, is amazing. I guess you needed to take a night off because it's just been crazy by the sounds of things.
Well, certainly we're going into this the last, you know, five or six days, and it's only going to get worse. This might be the last sane moment I have between now and next Thursday. But I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's been extremely enjoyable. Funny enough, all the candidates have actually got on quite well. It's stayed on a very friendly level. We've not ended up with the sniping and name-calling that some areas have fallen to. And I think that, you know, that in itself brings an awful lot of respect for politics. We haven't gone down to that Punch and Judy level that turns people off politics at so many levels.
No, great stuff. And good luck. Whatever happens, let's have another beer afterwards.
Most certainly, I'll look forward to it. I'll invite you down to Westminster, maybe.
Oh, nice. Thanks. Yeah, I'll hold you to that one. That's